Hello everyone and welcome to this week's Diversity Pod. And I'm your host Noor and we will be continuing on our diversity discussions and journey this week. This week we're going to be talking about blind recruitment and unconscious bias. And it will be an evaluation of the technique. It won't just be talking and describing about what it is. We are actually going to sit down and talk about what are the advantages, what are the disadvantages of blind recruitment. This podcast will be split into three parts just to make it easier to follow. So, part one, what is blind recruitment and what is its purpose? Part two, what is bias? Specifically, what is unconscious bias? Part three, an evaluation of blind recruitment. And when I say evaluation, we're going to be thinking advantages and disadvantages of the technique. Here at DJM, we strive to make content that is accessible as possible. So this podcast will be available as a blog on our website for those who either prefer or need visual content. The blog is already up on the website, so go ahead and click on www.diversejobsmatter.co.uk. All of the articles and reports that have been cited throughout this blog post will be referenced and linked throughout. Now, we will also try to fit them in the description of the podcast, and if you cannot find them there, you will always be able to find all of the sources cited within the accompanying blog post. So let's get started. What is blind recruitment and what is its purpose? Blind recruitment is the process of removing all identifying factors from a candidate's application. So, protected characteristics such as race, ethnicity, sexuality, marital status, age, address, name, experience, and when I mean experience, I mean the name of the organization, educational institutions that you went to are redacted from a recruiter's view. The only details that they can see is what education you have had and what experiences you have had without naming any of the institutions that you went to. So, now I've outlined what it is, we need to think about what the purpose is of blind recruitment. The main reasons why organisations are now turning to blind recruitment is because they want to tackle bias, agendas, and different criteria when they are trying to hire new candidates for a vacancy. Recruiters want to ensure that their decision-making for vacancies is clearly focused on the type of skills and qualifications that would benefit the role. They want to ensure that they are objective, as candidates are only screened for their qualifications and experience without any names being mentioned. Blind recruitment is an opportunity to hire underrepresented candidates in their industry or field. Now, this comes with the territory because some people can argue or say that, hey, that person's going to be a diversity hire. They're only hired because they look diverse. Let's talk about what a diversity hire is. A diversity hire is someone who looks diverse. And with the quotas that are going about now, that may be someone who is not white, not a man, maybe from the LGBT plus community, maybe of a religious faith, and that can be identified through a headdress. And they may be from an ethnicity which is different from the nationality nation that they are applying in. But when we think about blind recruitment, it is very, very unlikely that somebody can actually be a diversity hire because all of the information that I have just stated would be redacted from a recruiter's view. So in an online stage, they cannot knowingly pick a candidate to fulfill a quota. So as it stands, there seem to be quite a few benefits when it comes to using blind recruitment strategies. Beyond the reasons that I've already been talking about, why is blind recruitment so useful? In 2017, a study revealed that 32% of HR managers felt confident that they were not prejudiced in any way when hiring new staff. 48%, so that's almost half, admitted that bias, whether it be unconscious or conscious, affects their candidate choice. And 20% couldn't be sure if they were biased or not. And this is by the CIPHR, and this study was conducted within the United Kingdom. Now, prior to 2017, another study was conducted by a leading academic across a Russell Group university, and that is Vicky Bolivar, the senior lecturer in sociology at Durham University. Her research suggested that 36% of ethnic minority applicants from 2010 to 2012 received places in comparison to 55% of white applicants. This was sourced from a BBC news article that was discussing the benefits of blind recruitment. This and the CIPHR articles will be linked in the podcast description, and if not there, will be linked in the blog post itself. Leading on from Durham's research, the Prime Minister at the time, David Cameron, announced that UCAS, apprentice level, civil service, BBC, NHS, local government, KPMG, HSBC, Deloitte, and Virgin Money vacancies will follow name-blind recruitment procedure. One of the main reasons name-blind recruitment procedures have been put in place is to make sure that bias is reduced within the hiring process. One of the things that it helps most with is unconscious bias. Let's move on to part two, where we are going to be talking about conscious and unconscious bias, what it is, how we can recognize it, and how can we stop it. One form of bias that is overt is conscious bias. This form of discrimination is based on explicitly rejecting a candidate for a position based on specific characteristics. This can range from picking candidates from specific educational institutions. And a good example is we only hire candidates from Oxford. Some employers may be inclined to handle or hire candidates from younger ages, specific ethnicities, sexualities, gender and nationalities. It has also been reported that individuals with more foreign sounding names are less likely to be hired in certain instances in comparison to somebody who would have a more widely known name. In instances of conscious bias, the recruiter or manager should be removed from the hiring process. Some have suggested this, which is an interesting strategy because will really removing them from the situation and what their job actually functions provide any benefits? Others have suggested two options. Every individual who comes into a HR department should be tested for both conscious and unconscious biases. They need to be made aware of any affinities towards certain demographics. Secondly, after testing, some HR recruiters or managers may need to undergo certain trainings to be mindful and aware of what biases or agendas that they may have. If they are unable to be objective, then they need to consider whether they are actually in the proper position to be able to hire candidates in a fair and equal manner. If these interventions are not successful, organizations can also consider implementing blind recruitment strategies to reduce any impact of any discrimination or bias, criteria, prejudice, or agendas, and focus on evaluating a candidate on the basis of merit alone. So we've talked a lot about what conscious bias is, what we can do to possibly remove it within hiring or HR departments. Let's spend some time talking about unconscious bias. Unconscious bias is slightly different because the main difference is many recruiters or managers are not aware that they are actually doing it. In the context of recruitment and hiring, unconscious bias is a belief that you think you are impartial. You think you are objective when you are screening candidates. However, whether a manager or a recruiter realizes it or not, there may be certain thoughts or influences or biases that you are not aware of when you approach a candidate, and it can affect how you see them, their background, and their skills when it comes to assessing them for a vacancy. Often, with unconscious bias, the influences tend to be small, and so small that they aren't recognized by the recruiter. However, there are many tests that an individual can take to ensure that they are made aware of circumstances or agendas or biases. Throughout this podcast, we have discussed many of the benefits that come with the blind recruitment strategy. However, this podcast is not just about outlining the benefits of a technique. When you are considering implementing something new within a workplace or within a strategy or within recruitment in particular, you need to look at both the pros and the cons. And while there are many benefits to blind recruitment, there are certain disadvantages that you need to take into consideration when you are thinking to implement this policy or this strategy into your process or practices. So, some of the things you might want to consider. For blind recruitment, one of the biggest things that people consider a disadvantage is masking or hiding identity, and many people do this to contest unconscious bias. But what some people have said is that blind recruitment forces you to hide your identity, and that it is a little bit naive to say that different experiences will not be reflected when you think about different socioeconomic backgrounds, different races, different ethnicities, different standards and levels of education. So many people are saying that there might actually be certain kinks within the system that people have to consider. Another disadvantage of this style of recruitment is that if you are a company or an organization that implements a multi-staged recruitment process, such as assessment centers, interviews, and online application processes, this will only account for one stage of the recruitment process, as this blind recruitment strategy realistically only applies to anything that can be done online. So the online initial applications or the initial first stage of recruitment can be done via name blind recruitment. The assessments can also be done blind, where you get a candidate number and fulfill the assessment requirements. However, if your organization or company does need interviews, particularly face-to-face interviews with a candidate, then these biases that you are trying so hard to avoid and redact within the process may actually filter their way back through into the process. So while they may help with the initial screening, you might have to consider whether this is an effective method all the way out throughout the recruitment process. The one thing that you do need to consider is always holistically assess a strategy to see if it is the best hiring technique for your organization or your company. One of the best ways to think about, or one of the best ways to think about this is with your HR teams, identify what diversity, equality, and inclusion mean to your organization. Once you are able to do that, you may actually be able to think about or consider whether blind recruitment is something for you. If it is not, then you might have to go further and think what strategies might be better for you to ensure that your hiring practices are still objective, but they are also equal and fair. I want to hear your thoughts on everything that I have been discussing today. If you are from a company or an organization, does your organization use blind recruitment strategies or name blind recruitment strategies, and why? Why did you think it was a beneficial tool for you to use in the recruitment process? If you want to learn more, you can always hit that Google tab, read my blog article, or listen again to this podcast.